Well, good morning, and we're joined here today by Senator Charles Schumer and Council Speaker Christine Quinn and our key city commissioners, and I wanted to once again thank Linda Calise for her signing. Let me begin today by updating everybody on current weather conditions and what we can expect from Hurricane Sandy over the next 2 days. We continue to remain in touch with Governor Cuomo and state officials in coordinating our response to this storm, and I'm also announcing right now that we avoided city public schools to remain closed tomorrow. There's no chance that the mass transit will be back in time to serve people, and they're always worried about cleanup, even though the storm should abate dramatically as we get into Tuesday. The current track provided by the National Hurricane Center shows Sandy making landfall just south of Atlantic City this evening, and that keeps New York City well within the danger zone of the storm, and it's why, as of now, we are under a coastal flood warning from now through 3 p.m. on Tuesday, and high wind warning through 6 p.m. tomorrow. This is a massive storm. Hurricane force winds extend some 175 miles in every direction of this center. The storm may strengthen as it meets the cold front approaching from the northwest, and that's when it changes from a tropical storm to a northeaster, which has very big implications for those areas to the west of us and to the north of us. As we've emphasized all along, the greatest danger posed by Sandy is the coastal storm surge it will produce. We've already had as much flooding, for example, along the FDR, which is fundamentally closed at the moment, as we did in Hurricane Irene. Now, when we close a road, we close it when the water comes up, and if the water recedes, as, for example, as you go from a high tide to a low tide period, we would reopen that. But at any moment, any of these roads, if it becomes unsafe, we close it, and we have lots of people watching. The flooding that could occur later today is why we ordered our evacuation from Zone A areas. Yesterday, last night, there was a high tide. Tonight, there's a much bigger one. Tomorrow, another one. Water levels along our coast and in our waterways have begun rising and are expected to remain at higher than normal levels for the next 24 hours. The surge will be roughly at 8 o'clock tonight, 8:15, plus or minus a couple of hours. But remember, if you're in the South Bronx, the surge that you're getting is surge that enters Long Island Sound from out around Montauk, and it takes about 4 hours to get down here. So the surge that you would experience there is much later than the surge that you'd experience if the water is coming up the East River and the Hudson River. There has been some flooding already in the Bowery, as well as the FDR and some of the Rockaways. We expect surge levels of 6 to 11 feet. A surge of 9 to 10 feet is possible along Coney Island and the Rockaways, and a surge of 11 to 12 feet may occur at the Battery Monday evening. Maximum surge impact in these areas is expected to be in some period plus or minus 2 hours around 8:15, so say 6 to 10:30. The peak surge will hit areas along Long Island Sound between 10 and 2 a.m., as I said, 4 hours later. Now, if you live on a coastline, you have to add to that breaking waves, waves of 15 to 20 feet along the ocean-facing shoreline will result in severe beach erosion, but also it drives some water right over the roads and inland more. Because of the heavy rains that we do expect, which will come in later tonight, after the first we'll see higher winds, then we'll see the surge, then we'll see more rain. Tomorrow morning we expect to be very wet. A high wind warning is now in effect. The heaviest winds will occur this afternoon and this evening. Sustained winds of 40 to 55 miles an hour with gusts of 70 to 80 are what's forecast at the moment, and motorists should experience extreme caution. We will monitor conditions on the bridges. Governor Cuomo has announced that at 2 p.m. today, the Hugh Carey Brooklyn Battery Tunnel and the Harlan Tunnel will be closed to traffic. The Bronx River Parkway and the westbound lanes of the Guttles Bridge have been closed, and more bridge and tunnel closings throughout the city are very possible. It's the Guttles, I'm having a mental block. Guttles Bridge. Yesterday, I ordered an evacuation of residents and businesses in the area designated as Zone A in our coastal flood plan. So let me reiterate what I said yesterday, just for everybody's safety. And it's also for the safety of the first responders who might have to rescue people who remain in Zone A and whose own lives could be put at risk because of that. If you are still in Zone A and can find a way to leave, leave immediately. Conditions are deteriorating very rapidly, and the window for you getting out safely is closing. As the winds start building this afternoon, it gets more and more dangerous to go outside. And so you're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. You should have left, but it's also getting to be too late to leave. If you really experience an emergency, 911, we will send our first responders in, although we'd love very much not to have to put their lives at risk, and you can control that by getting out now. You can look outside and say, oh, this is not bad. That's correct, but it is going to be. The forecasts are reasonably accurate, this close to when we're predicting something, and it's going to be very high winds, going to be a lot of road closures. You know, mass transit's not working, and driving when you have big gusts like that is dangerous. Overnight, city EMS crews transported 13 homebound elderly from Zone A residences. Plans were also put in effect to transport residents of city homeless shelters in Zone A, and an increased effort is being made to reach homeless on the streets with a focus on those in Zone A. Manhattan Veterans Affairs Hospital and New York Downtown Hospital have been fully evacuated, incidentally. Some 45,000 of the 375,000 New Yorkers who live in Zone A are residents of city public housing developments. We continue to make enormous efforts to reach them with a message that they need to leave for their own safety. If you are in one of these 26 affected developments, the city is running buses for the next hour or so, but that's going to stop because it just becomes too dangerous to run the buses. If you are still in a public housing development, you should go downstairs. The buses are in the same locations they were yesterday. We've placed flyers in all 26 of the affected developments starting last Friday. We had meetings with residents last Saturday. We started knocking on doors of residents in the affected developments Friday and Saturday, and that continued yesterday. And we've knocked on every door in the affected developments. We've made phone calls to apartments in every development. If we couldn't reach people, we put flyers under their doors. Sunday police officers were at the developments telling people through loudspeakers to evacuate. We provided school buses to transport people to shelters, and that is still going on. And we're especially going to residents we know are on respirators or other life-saving equipment dependent on electricity and telling them to leave and helping them to do so. I did want to commend the elected officials who worked with NYCHA this weekend in going door to door with the message to evacuate, and particularly to John Rea and all his staff at NYCHA. I don't think anybody could have done more to give people the notice and advice to protect how to protect themselves. We stressed all along that for people living in Zone A, the first option should be finding a safe place to stay with relatives or friends. However, we have also opened 76 emergency shelters in city public schools for those who did not have that option. They are still accepting people. All of these shelters have at least one entrance usable for wheelchairs. If you require further information, you can call 311 or visit the OEM website through nyc.gov or the website of the mayor's office for people with disabilities, which will provide information about accessibility. We have done everything I think that we can to give you the information that you need. The shelters are fully stocked. We've got volunteers, a lot of teachers who've been there overnight. I visited one yesterday. They have shelter. They have cots. They have blankets. They have food. They have sanitary facilities. And they can even take your pets. So far, we've had about 3,000 people come into the shelters. And if the press wants to know the number of pets, I think it was in the low 70s. 73 pets, but don't leave your pet at home because you don't know when you can get back, so take your pet with you. For the next several days, we've been stressing what precautionary steps New Yorkers should take. Our message to all New Yorkers is pretty much the same today. The storm is here and will be here for the rest of today and well into tomorrow. Now you should concentrate on keeping yourselves and your families safe to the extent possible. Remain in your homes while the storm is in progress. If you live in buildings served by elevators, avoid using them during the storm. There's always the possibility of power outages, and you might get caught between floors. Stay away from picture windows or lobbies where glass could be shattered by windborne objects. Most of the glass is able to stand up to the gusts, but if something is blown into them, then they could easily shatter and you could be hit with the glass or the object that caused the accident in the beginning. We have worked very hard to make sure all cranes and construction sites are battered down, and we've had so far no indication of any debris blowing off a construction site. But as the winds get worse, our precautions get tested more, and you never know. There's no reason to jeopardize your lives. It's just dangerous to be out on the streets when the wind is this high. If you have to be, you can do it, but take precautions. You just stay away from windows when you're inside, outside, keep your eyes and ears open, and get your business done and get back inside as quickly as you can. And remember that on the higher floors of high-rise buildings, the wind is much stronger, so the further up you live, the more reason you should close your drapes and just stay away from windows. With regard to city employees, as I've said, city government is open for business today. That's what we're here to do, to serve New Yorkers. When others need help, we've got to be there. To all city workers with operational duties related to Hurricane Sandy, you know your assignments and what you should, and you should be executing them. And thank you for your dedication. That's why you go to work for New York City, to help others. We've asked a number of city school teachers to volunteer at the evacuation centers. However, conditions are dangerous, and in light of the predicted impact of the storm to people's ability to get home tonight, I've instructed commissioners that they are to use their judgment to determine if employees are not involved in response or shelter operations and have gotten done the stuff that had to get done today, then there's no reason why you can't. Commissioners can make their own decisions, but they could let them leave work early to get home. But let me be clear, city government is open, and though these are the times when New Yorkers need us the most, we do want to have everybody safe and not inconvenience anybody more than necessary, but we understand why we're here. To give you some examples of what city workers are doing today, sanitation workers have already picked up thousands of tons of refuse this morning. They will be on 12-hour shifts tomorrow to pick up refuse where possible and also to help removing debris created by storms. Park employees are handling calls about, for example, hanging limbs and downed trees. Employees of the Department of Environmental Protection are cleaning catch basins and staffing wastewater treatment plants, dealing with instances of highway flooding and repairing water main breaks. The City Human Resources Administration has opened all its facilities located outside of Zone A. All public hospital emergency rooms are open and will remain open throughout the storm. But also remember that some things have been sensibly closed. City school-based after-school programs are closed. Senior centers are closed. Public libraries are closed. All city parks have been closed since 5 p.m. and will remain closed until further notice. For your safety, now that we're experiencing dangerous winds, please stay out of the parks. Broadway is closed tonight. If you wanted to go out, it's probably, and restaurants want the business and movie theaters and everybody else, but just remember it is dangerous out there. And it may be a good time to just stay hunkered into your home and have a sandwich out of the fridge and sit back and watch television. We have an effective plan in place, we think, and if we follow it and all exercise common sense, we're going to get through this storm just fine. So now let me say, number one, thank you to Chuck Schumer for the help that the federal government gives us. I was on a conference call with the president yesterday, and he had a bunch of governors and mayors offering any help that he could give us. Craig Fugate from FEMA the day before, and the governor's office and my office have talked today. I've talked to the governor a number of times during this. Everybody's helping everybody and working together, and that's the way it should be. Chuck, you want to say a few words?
Well, thank you, Mayor, and first let me thank you and your entire team for the great job you do. I've been burning up the phone lines with the federal agencies, and one of the things that they all repeat is they know the city of New York is capable, competent, and really able to handle these problems better than just about anyone else, and it gives them a sigh of relief. So thank you and everybody here for the good job they do. As everyone knows, yesterday FEMA approved an emergency pre-landfill declaration statewide. That simply includes what's called Category B money, emergency protective measures, direct assistance report, water, food, care kits, things like that, as well as sending the Army Corps in to sandbag wherever it's needed. Now, due to the magnitude of the storm, I'm certain we'll get a major disaster declaration, and we'll get it quickly, as soon as the state officially applies. But today I'm calling on FEMA to skip the preliminary assessment and provide an expedited disaster declaration. They've done that on occasion. There is no question we will meet the limits, the $26 million limit we will meet. And so to wait a week and calculate everything while everyone's waiting and hoping and thising and thatting doesn't make much sense. Now, once a major disaster declaration is made, the money's going to go to three different groups. I'm going to briefly describe each. One is public assistance. The mayor will be, he knows, he's glad to hear that. It's always been a tradition of the federal government to step in when disaster is there. There was a period of time a year ago where some folks didn't want to fund disaster assistance, but we've overcome that and the disaster assistance funds are full. The city, state, or any other public entity, the Port Authority, the MTA, will get 75% of eligible costs from the federal government for repairing or replacing public facilities. It falls into a whole bunch of categories. It's quite broad. It's quite generous. And during Irene, FEMA was very good at getting the money to the localities very quickly. It includes debris removal, emergency protect measures, road and bridge repairs damaged by the storm, water and sewer control facilities damaged by the storm, public buildings and content, public utilities repair, park and recreational repair. And they will also provide, and this is something that localities, I'm sure not the city of New York, but many neglect, they'll provide 70% for hazard mitigation projects. If there's a place that always floods and you want to build a seawall, they will pay for that. And that's very important, and it's often neglected. Second area is individual homeowners. If your home is hurt by the storm, you can get several types of assistance. If it's not livable, you can get temporary housing assistance for at least 2 months. You can get repair money if your home is damaged, although they make you put your insurance money for it first. So if you have $80,000 of damage and $60,000 is covered by insurance, FEMA will pay the other 20. There's replacement. Under rare conditions, homeowners receive funds to replace a damaged home that can't be moved into. And then other serious needs that you might be inconvenienced from the storm or not able to do, such as medical, dental, or funeral. And unemployment insurance if you're not covered federally, like you're a small homeowner, small business owner, and you lose that. The third category is small business. Loans for small businesses can be up to $2 million for losses, whether it's loss to the structure or let's say you have a supermarket and all the refrigeration goes and all the cold goods get ruined, they will reimburse you for that. And again, they've been pretty good at that. Two other things. I've spoken to the Army Corps. They are aware with this type of storm, there may be dredging needs. The harbor may get silted up in various ways. We're particularly worried, frankly, about the Fire Island Inlet, which is the one outlet to Great South Bay, to the ocean. They have a load of dredging equipment here because they're dredging our deep new harbor so we can attract more ships. And they're willing to move that very quickly as well as get sand replenishment where it's needed done very quickly. FEMA itself has opened two emergency centers, one on Long Island, one upstate in Oneida County, where they're providing, they have on hand 56,000 ready-to-heat meals, 36,000 liters of water, and there's more food and water on the way. The cooperation, I think, between the federal government and the mayor has been excellent and hopefully will continue, and I'll keep an eye on it. Thanks, Mayor. Sure.
Chuck, thank you. Let me just also, I wanted to thank the City Council, particularly those members who helped us at the shelters and helped us at the NYCHA facilities and helped us generally answering questions from their constituents. We've made a big point of reaching out to them and keeping them informed, so because they do get a lot of the questions that might otherwise go unanswered, and it's just in everybody's interest. And Chris, you should know that they've really done a very good job, and thank you for all of them. Let me, before we take questions, just summarize for our Spanish-speaking audience. Las escuelas públicas están cerradas mañana martes. La ciudad está bajo un aviso de inundación costera en y un aviso de vientos muy fuertes hoy y mañana. Esta tormenta es muy peligroso. No salga a las calles, manténgase adentro de sus casas o un albergues donde están seguros y a salvo. With that, we'll be happy to take some questions, sir.
Mr. Mayor, any worries about seawater getting into the MTA, the subway system, and are there any damages already?
I haven't heard of any yet, but that's exactly why I thought Joe Loda did exactly the right thing. We don't want to go without mass transit, but what would be worse is if particularly the trains were damaged by being inundated, if they got trapped in a tunnel that flooded, or if they were in one of the yards that are low-lying. If that would happen, those trains could be out of commission for months, and we have to recover no matter how difficult it is to go through Monday and Tuesday without mass transit. Wednesday and after that, we do need it, and I think they've made the right decisions. I haven't heard of any yet, but keep in mind there's always flooding when you have a rainstorm. There's always accidents, water main breaks, and they are able to recover those. If you were to have a major one, then it would be another issue, but at least their equipment is safe. And incidentally, the MTA, if my recollection is correct, after Irene, got service back much faster than anybody thought they could.
I'm still confused. Are non-essential city workers required to go to work today? And
we asked everybody to go to work. We are here to serve the public. And if you can't get in, you can't get in. But we want everybody there. I know of no part of the city government where we're just wasting our money. We think there are all of these services that we're trying to provide are important. Once you get your work done, if you're not needed for the rest of the day, it's up to each commissioner. They can decide to let you go home early. Going home is not going to be easy. Some roads will be closed. The winds will be higher. We don't have mass transit. We understand that. That's just one of the things you have to learn to deal with. Life isn't always pleasant, but one of the things here is our city workers know we're here to help the public. And when the public needs help, we are going to be here. We don't want to inconvenience anybody, but for example, sanitation workers and firefighters and police officers, their commissioners are, I would assume, not going to say, okay, you can go home. But there are some other agencies where once they've got done whatever's absolutely necessary and they can pick it up tomorrow or the next day, they'll do exactly that. Yes, miss.
I noticed you mentioned that the FDR flooding is already at the level of Irene. Are there other ways to compare how it is now?
Number one, we don't have great data. It's all hearsay. And a road may flood now, and then an hour from now will be fine. The real flooding is going to come tonight. That's the real winds are going to come earlier, but the real flooding is going to come tonight. 8 o'clock plus or minus a couple of hours, because 8 o'clock, 8:15 is the high tide. And you have a full moon, and that exacerbates the problem. And then for those people that get flooded from water coming down Long Island Sound, that's about 4 hours later. So that'll be about midnight plus or minus a couple of hours. Why? Because it takes about 4 hours from the water that enters Long Island Sound on the eastern end to travel all the way down to the western end and cause the flooding there. Most of the other flooding, it comes up the harbor, which is where the storm is coming up. Yes, sir, in the back.
Yes, we're getting reports from shelters, lack of basic supplies on the one hand, and also a severe lack of handicap accessibility. No bathrooms, no handicap accessible cots in some places.
Well, I don't know whether any of those things are true. We'll certainly look into it. I can tell you we have 16,000 beds in 76 different facilities where we have lots of volunteers. I had over 3,000 volunteers for the 3,000 people that were there. And sometimes it's just going to be inconvenient. The schools weren't designed originally to be shelters. They were designed, number one, a long time ago when our whole sense of what people really need and what the people in the city needed was different. And we're trying to use the resources we have. So I just ask everybody to bear with us, and we're going to do the best we can. The most important thing is that we can keep you safe. It'd be nice if we can do it where you're not inconvenienced. Probably not the real world. It'd be nice if we can do it with nicer facilities and more services. But we are accomplishing what we set out to do, and we're going to continue to do that. Yes, sir?
Is there any concern for the number of people who may have stayed behind? It just seems like a relatively low number for the shelters.
You never know. I think, in all fairness, for example, in NYCHA facilities, you can't ask any more. We've been for days putting notes under their door, ringing their doorbells, making phone calls, having loudspeakers blasting the message, having friends call people. At some point, if people don't leave, they've made a good judgment call. And in fact, if they haven't left, and maybe 2 or 3 hours from now, they probably shouldn't leave because there's more danger going out on the streets, and we're not going to have the buses to take them elsewhere. As we have school buses and MTA, I think mostly school buses now, taking people from the shelters. NYCHA's done everything you could possibly do. What percentage have left? I guess is half, but it's just a guess. Nobody really knows, because if we could talk to the people, maybe we could convince them to leave. Yes, Miss, you had a question.
Is there any particular time at which you think people should stay indoors, kind of a voluntary?
It's just going to get worse and worse. I think the answer is, depends on where you live, whether it's an open area, whether there are things blowing around, if we're closer to the beach. Common sense says, spend the afternoon indoors reading a good book, watching television, talking to each other, catching up on your sleep. But do things indoors. It doesn't mean you can't go to the local restaurant. Doesn't mean you can't go out. But it's just more dangerous to do so. Yes, sir.
Are you evacuating anyone who's not in a housing authority facility?
We have mandatory evacuation in Zone A, but there are no penalties.
My question is, are you providing buses?
There were two hospitals downtown and veterans downtown, but they're two small hospitals. And other than that, no. All the other hospitals have released patients that didn't need critical care, and so they've downsized, but they're there for an emergency.
What I mean is, are there buses that are going to areas that are not part of housing authority facilities?
No,
that's
done. That was the MTA, and that's done. Yes.
We did have police buses, and the MTA stepped up their buses, and we coordinated that with them. So, yes, there were additional buses for the general population as well.
But that was yesterday.
And right,
no,
done.
Yes, done. Miss.
I have a question for the senator, actually. Yeah. If FEMA speeds up this process, how soon could New York get the money, and who would determine how it's distributed throughout the state?
It's basically a reimbursement for the things that I mentioned. It's pretty cut and dry. There's not too much politics in it. The state has to apply, of course, for an emergency declaration if they do it quickly. We've been getting money back for projects that happened in the last storm as soon as a month, and some of it takes longer. It depends on the documentation and everything else, but it could happen very fast.
And so when the money comes back, FEMA designates, like, we're giving you this money for this project or for this damage?
Correct. It's done on a project by project. There is no discretion.
Mayor, you mentioned that the winds will be getting worse.
Yes.
At what wind velocity do you shut the bridges, and would you consider, a state of emergency where people could not drive their cars or taxis could not go?
Well, keep in mind, the real problem is going to be tonight. When most people are home, if you look even now, there's very little traffic on the bridges and on the roads. That's good. Tonight, you would expect it to be much less. Each bridge we're going to look at, if it's dangerous, we'll close it. And then if the winds subside, 40 minutes later, it could be open. We're trying to give people the maximum flexibility, but consistent with the conditions. And each bridge is, remember, different construction, different direction, different locations. So there's no one blanket policy. And I don't see us trying to close the roads. If the West Side and the East Side highways, for example, are closed, most of the avenues and streets will still be open in New York City. You do have the problem of the potential of garbage being blown around, garbage cans that people forgot to take inside or lock down that kind of thing. But it's dangerous to be out on this. Yes, sir.
What's the height of a storm surge that would flood the subway systems? We've heard 10.5.
I don't think anybody really knows. There's always the danger, but the danger is probably only of a couple, and we don't think that's going to happen. Having said that, the prudent thing to do is to move the subway cars out, which is what the MTA and Joe Loda did. If a subway tunnel with a flood, you pump it out and there's a little bit of damage, but relatively quickly you can get it back up. There's no one, and each subway system is different in a different place. What they're trying to do is they take the subway trains from the low-lying areas and they move them to the high areas. There's not enough capacity in the train yards at the high areas for all of the system, because some of it normally is there, some of it's down below. So they park the trains along the tracks, which means those tracks aren't available to use, which is why the whole system's got to come down. And then they've got to get the people back to drive the trains as things get going. They did a masterful job, I will say, after Irene, as I remember, in getting it back quickly, as long as there's no real big damage. And hopefully there won't be. Yes, sir?
Earlier you said that you guesstimated that half of the NYCHA folks have
complied. It's just a guesstimate.
Do you have a guesstimate on the total 375?
No. There's no ways to tell.
Any sense of how it compares to Irene?
Nobody could. Nobody knew what happened then. Nobody knows now. That's a yes, sir. We'll take the last question.
There's been a lot of development the last few years in the flood zones. Has that been wise, and should more have been done to protect those areas?
Well, people like to live in low-lying areas on the beach. It's attractive. People pay more, generally, to be closer to the water, even though you could argue that they should pay less because it's more dangerous. But people are willing to run the risks.
Invest in infrastructure?
We cannot build a big barrier reef off the shore to stop the waves from coming in. We can't build big bulkheads that cut people off from the water that they're trying to do. Robert Moses actually did that with the roads, and we've been ever since then spending a fortune trying to get around it. I think, we've done a lot of preparation in terms of roads, strengthening things, and Chris is going to say something.
We also people should be clear, in the hurricane planning we've done and the coastal planning we've done and the green building codes and other structural changes, we have made significant changes in the requirements of how we build in lower-lying areas and particular change to particular projects that were coming down the pipeline as those conversations were going on. So the mayor's right, we can't go out and build a barrier reef, but we have done what we can do in the confines of our code, and no one has a better, tighter code than we do now.
All right, we'll take the last question right here.
Mayor, do we have a number of how many people are actually in the shelters?
Yeah, about a little under 3,000 plus.
Just over 3,100.
3,100. Okay, and we have about 3,000 odd people working there. It's roughly right now, volunteers, 1-to-1. We have about 16,000 beds, but if they haven't come in by now, I think it's probably unlikely that we're going to be more effective. We've tried everything we can to get them to come, and some people say, no, I'll just stay at home. We are, in constant contact with all of the senior citizens' homes and nursing homes and hospitals in Zone A. And as of a few minutes ago, everyone has their generators, has enough fuel, has the procedures, moving people to higher floors. There's no, we don't think there's any danger. And while you could say, well, why not move them out? The real answer is that there's a risk when you start moving people who are elderly or have infirmed a little bit. And you got to balance that risk with the risk of something happening if they stay. But the people that run these homes, we've worked with extensively, and Tom has talked to them. All right, last question.
Chris, had 311, 911, and NYC.gov are holding up. And
some delays, but better. We last night had a record number after the press conference. We've got now two different systems when you come in on nyc.gov if you want weather information. You can go to one or the other. That doubled our capacity, so we're able to do that, yes.
You don't seem as worried as yesterday. Is it because you're happy with the planning, or because it's going to be less than we expect?
Well, no, I'm always worried, and I don't know that I was excessively worried yesterday. I am a believer that we have done the right things over the last 10 years of building up our capacity to prevent and our capacity to inform and our capacity to respond. And you're never going to be perfect, and you never know what the next test is. But, you know, all our city agencies, role play, they do tabletop exercises, they're out there doing actual exercises on the streets, and they get tested every day. You know, the fire department responds to a couple thousand times, they and the police department together. Do they work together? Yeah, because they have so much practice. New York is very different than any place else, and Craig Fugate said that the other day. He joked, you know, the one place that we assume you don't need any help is New York City. Why? New York City taxes itself and spends the money to protect us and to have the services that will keep us going, and I know of no other city that does that, which always annoys me when they say, oh, you're a high-taxed place. Yeah, and we get something for it. All right, last... So I'm going to regret that. I'm going to regret this.
I can only hope. Any looking into the possibility of evacuating Zone B? Any thoughts?
No, there's no thought. And at this point in time, I don't know that you'd have the time to do it. Remember, at 8 o'clock tonight, it's going to be the worst time. And that's not very long from then. It's only 8 hours from now. You couldn't get a message out. You couldn't do anything. And Zone B is pretty high. Nobody thinks, no forecast, even the outliers don't get you to the point where you would have that kind of flooding. If you have flooded Midtown, we'd have lots of other problems. I think that's enough for everybody. Once again, please stay inside if you can. Look into somebody next door if they are infirmed. If you have a power outage, that's a good time to knock on their door because maybe they need some help. If somebody needs dialysis or something and can't get power, just pick up the phone if it's life-threatening to 911, and we will get there. Stay off the beaches. There's some kids out there surfing. You know, I know it's a macho thing to do, but, you know, it would be nice if you were around tomorrow. And this is a storm that can easily kill you. And what's more of concern to me is our first responders going into those waters to save you. We could lose them. So you have a responsibility to yourself, I suppose, but more importantly to others. Thank you very much, and hopefully if we have anything to say, we will. But if you follow what we're doing tomorrow morning, we can wake up and look back and say, we got through this pretty well, and then we can see if we can't help others who are going to have a much bigger problem as the storm goes inland and stalls, and the rivers can't empty because the oceans are pushing the water up the rivers, and so they have a whole different set of problems, and they don't have the resources to do it. And if we can help, we will. Thank you.